Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling. I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling. Like, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight, I'm joined by Joel, and Joel's had a life full of encounters with the unknown. Joel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Cade. It's a great experience to get the opportunity to come onto the show, mate.
Mate, the pleasure's all mine to have you on, because the email that you sent me was pretty mind-blowing. And when I say you've had a life full of encounters, you genuinely have. So can you take us back to where this all started for you and kind of just run us through to where you are today?
Yeah, okay. So currently I live in central Queensland. I turned 43 this year, but a lot of my encounters started when I was quite young. I can just recall back staying at my aunt's house and always sensing things in the room and the hallways and things like that. And as I started to get older, I just had occasional experiences that wouldn't occur all the time, but every now and then I would notice things around the house. And it used to really scare me. But I can remember my first big experiences when I was 13 and I went down to Batemans Bay in New South Wales with my family for a holiday, and we stayed in this two-story townhouse, and I can recall that there was only so many beds downstairs for the other kids and mum and dad, and they asked me to sleep upstairs, which I was excited about. But when I slept upstairs and turned the lights off and went to bed, I noticed the bed actually started to shift around a little bit, and I couldn't see anyone there, and I started to get quite fearful. And the next thing that happened is I actually felt the back legs of the bed actually pick up. Probably it felt like about 12 inches off the ground, and the bed shook violently. And by that stage, I was under the doona, and I was really, really frightened. And it must have happened on and off throughout the night, and I was just frozen. I couldn't sleep.
That's terrifying. How old were you when that was happening?
I was 13 at the time. I would think that was my first big experience. Like I said, I think younger than that, I'd had a few things happen, but that was the first thing that really made me realize, hang on, there's something else out there. Like, there's a ghost in this room, and it's quite angry with me.
Was that the impression that you got during that entire night of those, I guess, those encounters happening to you?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't see anything, but I could feel the energy in the room was of anger, and something was actually shaking the bed, and that sort of went on all night. And the next morning I went downstairs and I remember telling Mum about it, and she never really said too much. And the crazy thing was, the second night I actually went back up and stayed up there again. To this day, I can't remember. I just remember going back up there again and thinking, oh no, I may have been having a bad dream or something, but the same thing happened on the second night. So that sort of confirmed to me, yeah, well, this is real. And after that, I never went back up there. So
I don't blame you, mate. That would have been quite a terrifying encounter at such a young age too. And did you tell your parents about what happened in that room at all?
Yeah, I did tell them about what happened, and they never really said a lot. My dad sort of said to me some of the experiences he had when I was little. To this day, he doesn't talk about it anymore, but he said to me bits and pieces and about bed shakes and stuff. So I kind of realised that, you know, there is something else out there at that stage. And at that time then, I was sort of a little, you know, I was kind of fascinated in the spiritual world and always believed in it. But at the same time, it wasn't something that occurred all the time. It was just sort of randomly that I'd just pick up on things now and then. A couple of years later, I remember I was sitting in the kitchen and at Mum and Dad's house. It would have been probably a couple of years after that, and a glass exploded that was sitting on the table, and it must have shattered and went probably 15 metres. It's quite a big area in that house, and I remember a lot of the glass ended up near it hit the actual back door, and it was all scattered all the way down the hallway. So that was another thing that happened. After that, probably the first spirit I seen was at my girlfriend through high school. It would have been when I was around 17. I was downstairs at her place and we were both sitting together, and we seen a lady in a purple dress walk down the stairs. And we both turned around, looked at each other in shock. So that was a good confirmation. I've always had good confirmations with other people to actually see spirits. So that was the first time I've actually had like the visual thing while I was wide awake.
How did you know it was a spirit? Was it a feeling, or was it something that you could, and this might sound very stereotypical, but like, could you see through the person, or was there something about it that kind of made you, think that's 100% a spirit right there?
Because we couldn't see a face so much. She had a long purple dress on. It was like a spiral staircase, and she walked down very slowly, just one step at a time. So it was something that wasn't in the corner of our eye. We were just glaring straight at this lady, and she was it wasn't like looking at a person as such. You could still sort of see through. It was just like that. You could still see through her, but you could still see that you could still see what she looked like as a human being when she would have been alive, like a body shape and everything else. And as she took steps down the stairs, as soon as she put a foot off the stair, she just vanished immediately. So it was something that probably lasts for about 10 seconds. So that was the first good visual I've seen. Yeah, just while I was wide awake, that was pretty mind-blowing, really. And, from then on, I was pretty well interested in the whole idea of the spirit world.
So that one experience there really kind of led you down the path of exploring it more. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I believe so. Like, I've always explored it, but that was probably just seeing one the first time without actually going to search for it. It just happened, and I seen it with another person. We both seen exactly the same thing, the way we described the lady. That was probably the yeah, that was probably the first time I really thought to myself, wow, you know, this is all real stuff. So, yeah, leading on from that, it was sort of random on and off for a few years after that. The next encounter was quite a few years later. Now, I'd always sort of felt other people's energy, and I was always very empathic and felt a lot of people's emotions around me. That was something that was always apparent for me my whole life, still to this day. But I never really had too many more experiences till I was probably 22 or 23, and I was driving down to Newcastle down a back road towards Lake Macquarie through Wakefield, and I was with a friend. I was driving, and probably about 30 metres in front of the car, we seen a big red orb fly across the road from one side of the road to the other. It was probably about nearly a metre round, and it was spinning, really bright red orangey colour, like many describe, and it essentially, this thing wanted, it was like it was trying to grab our attention, but it was like only 50 metres ahead of us and went directly straight across the front of us and into the bush. And I remember stopping, and we pulled over and we looked around, and we didn't really know what it was, and we just thought, oh, I never really even heard of orbs or anything back then. That was probably the first time I've seen an orb. So that was quite mind-blowing for us.
That's incredible. So you were fairly close to this thing then.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, at the time, I wasn't really researching that sort of thing or really thinking anything of it. I was just, it was probably around 9 o'clock at night. And, yeah, definitely 100%. It was an orb. And, I wouldn't say it was, like a UFO or anything like that. It could be a UAP, but this thing was perfectly round and it was spinning really quickly, and it traveled like across us, like basically to the point where it deliberately came out in front and then went into the bush. And then when we pulled over and looked into the bushland, we just couldn't see anything.
So when you say it was a red orb, did it seem like it was a ball of energy, or could you see that there was like some kind of, I guess, solid structure to it, like some mass or something like that?
Yeah, it looked like, it definitely, it wasn't see-through. It was like just a glowing, ball of energy. Definitely had, was like, it was definitely conscious in some way. The way it, even though it never like zigzagged backwards and forwards, just the way that it traveled and rotated, it was like something that was definitely had its own conscious and sort of like it knew what it was doing as such.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I wonder if there was a min-min light or something like that.
Well, I've sort of done some research of late to try and see if that's what it was, a min-min light, and it kind of, even though there's been no sightings of min-min lights around Lake Macquarie, I have done a fair bit of research on that the last couple of years, and there has been a lot of sightings of those red orbs around that lake. That lake itself has been known for UFO activity as well. So it was probably around a kilometre away from the lake, but as soon as you go down that road, it just goes into thick bushland immediately under the back of Mount Sugarloaf.
And was the orb making any noise or anything like that when you saw it?
I was dead silent. We couldn't hear it. And the friend of mine that was in the car with me, he never really said a lot about it. He just sort of looked at it and said, oh, what was that? And was just really shocked. And we sort of stopped and pulled over, and then we just sort of looked for about 5 or 10 minutes to see what it was, and we couldn't see anything. We just got in the car and drove off, and I never really thought about it. I just remember experiencing it. I wasn't scared and just thought, oh, this happened, and sort of moved on. That was just something that I remember. It was a really profound experience when I was younger, and it's probably the only time I've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Like, I've never heard of anyone having an encounter with a red orb. I've heard stories of like blue and green ones, and of course like little white ones, but a red orb is something that's kind of new to me, and I might have to do some research around that Wakefield area in New South Wales to see what the go is, because if it's got as much UFO action as you say it is, I wonder if that was something related to that. I wonder if it's maybe drone related or something like that, if it's so relevant there.
Yeah, well, this would have been around 2003 that happened. I have done some research around Lake Macquarie, which is, it's a really big lake in New South Wales, down just south of Newcastle, north of Central Coast. And there has been a lot of activity around that Central Coast area, Lake Macquarie area, and particularly of just going through some forums, I've seen people talking about red orbs in the area. So that was a really interesting encounter, that one. One that I'll never forget, and I wish I would have been able to video it. It was just still to this day, I can picture it very clearly.
Yeah, it really is quite a fascinating encounter. And, I'm definitely going to look into that area, because if it's happening as much as you're kind of alluding to, I wonder if there's someone who's got footage or something of that out there, or even if someone who listens to this podcast, because we have quite a listener base down in the Sydney area, and I wonder if anyone else has experienced something like that around there.
Yeah, absolutely. I've listened to a bit of Damien John Knott's stuff, and he's spoken about red orbs as well, and it sounds very similar to what he speaks about. That I've been able to reference it to some of the sightings that he's had.
Actually, I should get in touch with him, because he may have some more information about that more than anyone else now that you mention it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've seen this orb. Where does your life go after this? Because you kind of almost say that this was, it just kind of happened and you kind of moved on with your life. But there's so much more to your story. So what happens after that then?
I would have been 20, early 20s at the time, and it was at this stage in my life I'd sort of moved down to around the Orange, New South Wales area, and I never really had any occurrences down there. Everything was fairly, I would say, tame for a while. I had a lot of deja vu experiences, but nothing really that stood out. It probably wasn't until many years after that I started to experience things more. I believe I remember seeing a friend of mine in New South Wales who was a psychic, and she said to me when I went and seen her, she said, "Oh, while you're seeing me, you know, you're quite psychic yourself, you should really start to practice this." So I was quite confused about that. I'm thinking, how do I do that? I've got no idea. I never really knew anything about it, but she just, that stuck in my mind, and I'm still friends with that lady to this day, and she's helped me out a lot. It wouldn't be for many years after that. I never had many experiences as such after I seen the red orb with spirits or anything until many years later. I would say I was in my 30s. For some reason or other, it just went very quiet. I'm not sure why. I would say maybe subconsciously I was shutting it down, and I was very focused on, I've got a very engineering mind. I was very focused on my work and my job and keeping busy and going to the gym and just trying to be a typical guy. But I was never really 100% truly happy. Every time I wanted to feel better, I would always look into the meditation side of things and start to relax and just try and wind down. And I think it was probably many years later, it was around 2012, I went through a separation with my partner, and at that time I was quite down, and I remember after we separated, I decided that I'd go back to New South Wales for a bit. But I remember that at this stage I started to have a lot of lucid dreaming experiences. I remember seeing a friend of mine come to me in the dream because I got right into car tuning type of work. And a friend of mine who died of cancer when he was younger, he loved cars, and he always remembered me working on cars. And he came to me in his dream and said he was really happy with the way things were. And I remember it was a big ocean, and he came flying up to a jetty and said to me, "Oh, I love what you're doing. Keep it up. You know, you've got a lot ahead of you." And I just remember I wasn't thinking of this guy at all leading up to this, and that happened. And I realized that next day, I thought, well, I've just had some sort of experience. And then it started to sort of really turn on from there. The next experience was I can remember I would wake up in the morning and I'll just start drawing, and I can remember drawing all these pictures of a house in New South Wales. And I remember I could actually feel cold. I'd have goosebumps all over me, and I'd draw dams and things like that. And little did I know, I was actually having some sort of psychic experience, because at that time too, I was having lucid dreaming where I'd see a little girl come in, and I was in a bedroom and she was waving at me and saying hello and smiling. And it was at that stage where I really started to grasp the idea of lucid dreaming and how when things come into you that those I would say spirits that are coming to you, or like some sort of non-organic being, would engage you and actually wave to you and smile. And that's the first thing that I picked up on when I started to lucid dream, was when I would go into those states, I would actually be engaged by the person who wanted to contact me. And in this scenario, she actually walked me through the house and showed me through this house, and walked up and pointed to this lady and said, "Oh, that's my mummy." And I remember this lady actually looking down, and she was just reading a book. And then I woke up, and it was probably around 12 months later that I actually met this lady and ended up staying at that house. And it was exactly how I'd drawn it. The whole block, all the dam, and the little girl was identical to the one in the dream. It was her.
What was your reaction from that? Was that something that you were, because I know you said you were lucid dreaming, but were you consciously aware that of what you were doing? Because
no, well, I at that stage I didn't know what lucid dreaming was, and I'd never really read about it before. I didn't know if someone said to me about lucid dreaming or how visuals happening when you're in that theta state, I didn't understand how I actually got into that state. It was just occurring. It just was something that just happened and I experienced at the time, and I just wrote it all down and just remembered it vividly. And I realized then, I thought, I've just had a psychic experience. You know, I've had some trauma in my life. I've gone through a separation, and that's generally through those periods where you generally get the most help and the most things that come to you. And that was very profound for me at that stage.
I could imagine so, because that would have been something that would really shift your paradigm, I would imagine. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, and it was at that stage too when I really started to research it a little bit more. But I do, as I said, I recall going through the hallway and seeing this lady, and she actually used to sit in this chair and read books on this chair when I went down there, and I actually told her about the experience. I said, this and that's happened, and she believed in all that. And she said to me, she goes, oh, it sounds like you've got some sort of psychic gift or something that, you know, that you've got the ability to turn on if you want to. And I don't know what happened. That was a very bizarre point in my life. I just remember going down there and experiencing all this, whether it was calming or not, I don't know. But it was just I just remember having that experience. And that was probably the really big confirmation for me that, okay, I do have some sort of psychic gift, and I really want to use that to my advantage to help me through life and making the right decisions and going in the right direction.
So what happens after this happens then? So you've made this decision. What happens then? Do you actively seek out to help other people, or is it something that you actively try to investigate things or something like that?
At that stage, I never really thought about ETs and how it all linked together and energy work and all that kind of thing. Or even meditation. I was just very amazed about what had happened. Looking back at it then, I was probably, compared to what I am now, I was probably quite what you would call 3D, as what many people would call it now. I was probably still more self-absorbed. I believe at that time I was helping people. Like, I helped this lady a lot and her kids. I, through a tough transition in their life, I helped them through that. But at that stage, I started to seek out my friend in Newcastle again, the psychic lady, and she started to give me a little bit more information. And after we parted ways, it was probably a couple of years after that, we parted ways, and I ended up staying at my parents' place. And this was probably the next big thing. I moved back to my parents in Karikari in New South Wales for probably around 12 months. I was going through a bit of a rough patch in my life, and I was doing a bit of work on and off, but I was still really enjoying myself. I was quite happy. I was seeing my old friends and stuff. I would have been, that time would have been around 2014. And I can just remember lying in bed one night, and I can recall I used to see a wolf at the end of the bed, like a dog's face at the end of the bed. He would stick his head up and look at me. And I honestly thought that I was just seeing things. Like, I just thought, no, I'm just seeing things. And I would just go to sleep. And this started to happen every night for probably a couple of weeks. And I remember I could still sort of, there was a light on outside, but I was sort of right next, my room had a couple of big glass doors, so there was a light on outside, so I could still see inside the room. But I remember it must have been around 10 o'clock, and a man walked into the room, and I thought it was my dad. And I remember turning around and looking at this man, and I said, Dad, what are you doing? Because he just walked in and was just staring at me. And I said, what are you doing, Dad? What's the matter? And I remember turning around, and I remember seeing my grandfather stand there looking at me. He'd passed away in 1986, a long time before.
Oh, wow.
And he was very, it was much the same experience as what I had when I was around the 17 and seeing the spirit come downstairs. But this time, I could actually physically see every wrinkle on his face and every outline of his body. I can remember his clothes that he was wearing and his height and his build. But I could still make out that he was a spirit. Like, he just had that. It was kind of like slightly see-through, but a strong outline. And I remember I screamed at the time. I was that scared. For some reason, it really freaked me out. and then he vanished. But it was prior to that I'd seen a psychic lady, and she said to me that a friend of mine who was helping me out, that I would, that my grandfather was watching me, and he said that I've got three red tool boxes and I need to get my tools in order. And she said that he will show himself to you one day, and he did. So I'll never forget that. And at that stage, again, these experiences started to happen more and more.
Do you think you could see him better because you were maybe more in tune with your gift?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say that I was in the like a meditative state at the time. I was sort of starting to do some meditation at that point, just some 15-minute meditation, but I wasn't like in what they would call a theta state or anything like that. I just remember seeing him standing there, and it was kind of like I was wide awake, and he was really trying to grab my attention to say, hey, I'm watching over you, because at that time we had a death in the family. It was my cousin. She passed away. She was only early 40s, so I was also, the family was quite upset about it, and he showed himself at that time. So that was sort of something that it really stuck with me, and I believe that's when, yeah, that things really started to ramp up for me at that point, with, yeah, that psychic kind of thing. And I remember actually starting to do a lot of research on the ghost hunting stuff at that stage. I used to watch a lot of YouTube videos with the voice recorders, and I was like fascinated with all this, these devices that people were using. Whether it was half of it was fake or not, I don't know, but I just remember watching all this ghost hunting stuff, and I think I was actively diving into it and opening myself up more by doing that. Even though I actively never went out and did that, I was really focusing on it in my life, so I believe it started to happen more. My next experience, Kate, was I actually got a job back up in Queensland again. It was a shutdown, and I thought, I'm going to go up and, you know, start working again. And it was on the way up, I met a fella, this fella's name was Nick, and he's been a massive help for me the last few years, and he lives at Lismore. And I actually met this guy just by searching. I was looking for healers and that, some people that could help guide me through the right direction, you know, help me with some things that were happening. And he was the, sort of the first guy that I sort of really got some good lessons from. He was really helpful at that point. He didn't really show me a real lot of things then. He just basically said that I'm on the right track, and he said to me that I was going to have a little girl, and that I was very good at reading manuals, and that I should really focus on my psychic skills. So that sort of stuck with me. And, moving forward, I came up to Gladstone and I started to work, do a few shutdowns, and I had a few experiences, nothing too major. I wasn't doing any meditation at that point, and I wasn't lucid dreaming as such. I ended up, meeting a lady up here, and she's like my partner today. We've got two kids together. We met in 2016, and, she, had a very similar life to me, probably a lot more profound experiences in some ways. But when we sort of moved in together, it was kind of like her, with us both being in the house, it kind of amplified things as such. It's when we're together, it seems to occur more. We moved into a rental, and we had some bizarre things happening in that house. There was a spirit in this house that had been harassing her. And I'd moved in, and it got cranky that I was there.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't really like me being there, I don't think. It started to slam doors, and I'd find that if I'd come in the house at a turn, as soon as I'd take three or four steps into the house, the aircon in the bedroom would just turn on, immediately every time, like it was saying, I'm watching you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I remember laying on the bed one afternoon. It was probably on a weekend, and I just laid down for a nap, and I was went to text one of my friends. And I remember just looking outside, and as I was looking outside, I remember the window unlatched and slid up. It was like a vertical glass window that you actually had to slide up and latch in. I remember clearly seeing this thing unlatch and sliding up and then locking up. I'm thinking, oh, something's just moved that. So we had a few other experiences. And at that point too, I, you know, Kristen sort of introduced me to pendulums and things like that. And I started to use pendulums, which for any of the listeners out there that don't know what a pendulum is, essentially it's just a crystal or any type of metal that you hang off like a thread, and can actually ask yes or no answers, and it'll spin in different directions, whether it's yes or no. I started to realize, like, I started to use pendulums and use that for guidance. And when I started doing that, it just seemed to ramp things up more. I used to remember laying in that bed and having something whisper in my left ear, and it was like whispers, but I could feel the breath blowing in my ear as well. And I started to really freak out. We can remember one night laying in bed, and someone bashed on the door and yelled out, "Mummy!" It was a little girl. That was another strong experience in that house. And at that point, I started to seek out some help to try and clear this thing out, because we'd been using sage and all the rest of it. Wouldn't leave. Bodhi had seen him as well. Ended up meeting a lady, and she was actually helping me a little bit as well with some healing stuff. And she did clearings on houses, and she told me some of the things she was going to do. And at that time, I didn't really understand. She said she was going to go there and clear it out herself. I remember we just gave her the address, and that she said that she went there, and I didn't really understand what she meant. And now I realize that she astral traveled there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was very, very good at astral traveling, very good, gifted psychic lady. And she actually went there and explained to me what was there, and started to talk about attachments and stuff to me, and said that my partner had an attachment, and that she was going to clear it. And I remember she came over to the house physically one day, and another thing that would happen would be the roller door would open itself up during the night and things like that as well, and doors would slam. And I remember when she went in there, it didn't lock her going in, the doors were slamming in the house, and this thing was obviously a spirit that passed over that was angry. And she went through the house and done a clearing, and said it was okay. And we went back in the house, and it was good for about a month. And I remember we went back in there one day, and the aircon turned on by itself again, and I thought, oh, it's back again. And all the experiences started to occur again, very similar to what I just mentioned previously. And we'd already had another house lined up that we wanted to move into. It was bigger. So the lease ran out there, and we moved into the next place. And at this time, we got a dog. We had a bit of a bad run with rentals. We had a dog that was quite mischievous, used to bark and break things as well. So we went into this next place, and this was a two-story place, and we would hear things banging down in the shed at night. And if I was sitting up, I remember sitting upstairs having dinner one night, and I heard footsteps behind me, and someone walked up behind me and put their hand on my back. So this was another experience that I had, and this sort of went on with rentals for a long time. We locked the dog downstairs one day for a short while we went out. We gave him water and stuff when he was a puppy, and he broke the back door, and the real estate agent didn't like it, so we had to move out. And we went to our next place, this was quite different. We started to have experiences here as well, but I started to realize other things that were happening that I was picking up on, and that's the way that spirits will actually make noises of something that's happened in the past, but it's not actually happening. And what I mean by that is we'd be sitting in the lounge room and we'd hear the taps turn on in the kitchen. You'd hear the water running. Amazingly, you'd walk in there and there'd be nothing happening, even though you'd hear the dishes and things banging. And we'd walk in there and there'd be nothing there. And this was something that would happen quite regularly, like a few nights a week. And that's something that I started to pick up on, that the spirits actually, if there's someone around, or it could be a guide or a family member that's passed over, if they had something that they did, or even if you didn't know the spirit, it would actually make the noise, but you wouldn't actually, there'd be physically nothing happening. You couldn't see it, but you could hear it. It was like an audible sort of thing.
Yeah, like kind of like a moment in time being replayed, but just audibly only.
Yeah, and then the opposite thing would happen when we were in the kitchen, in the lounge room. I don't know if you ever remember the older TVs, when you turn them on and off with the remote, you could hear that fuzzy sound. But they turn on and off. We used to be able to hear that very clearly. So the TV physically wouldn't turn on, but we'd hear that sound of the TV turning on and off, that electrical noise. That was another one.
I wonder what causes that. I wonder if there's like an electric magnetic field that's generated by these spirits or something like that.
Yeah, it's like something that plays. Like it's a sound that you hear that just repeats itself and over and over, and I would hear it on some days, and my partner would hear it on other days, and we'd both comment on it. Sometimes we'd be together ourselves, and we sort of come to the conclusion that she said that a nana used to always love washing the dishes and would get quite noisy, so she felt that it was a nana there, because at the time we'd only just had the baby, see. And she believes that she was there helping her. And she said that she used to like watching the TV as well after she did the dishes. So that was quite interesting. So we feel that she would have been around at the time. But we never had anything negative happening in that house at all. We ended up moving to a place in town that was close for me to get to work, because I used to do quite long hours. And this place was probably where things started to really ramp up. I would say there was so many things happening there that I don't know where to start, but we would hear loud bangs in this house, and the lights would turn themselves on and off. So, for instance, during the day, you'd turn off the light or something in the bathroom, and then you'd go back in there and the light would turn back on again, and the oven would turn itself on, or the oven light would turn itself on. Things like that, loud bangs, and that was quite common for a while. At this stage, we had a lot of spirit activity in this house, in the sense that I remember when my daughter was very little and teething, and she was in the bed with my partner, and at this stage, I remember we had a mattress on the floor, and I used to sleep on the mattress the night so I was going to work, just so I could get a bit better sleep. And I remember the doors in the bedroom would actually open up and slam right next to me, and I used to feel something holding, touching my face.
What was the reaction from that?
I was very frightened. Kristen, my partner, seen it as well. So I remember the doors would actually open up and slam shut. And I remember she woke up and was quite fearful as well. And that was like the wardrobe doors. And they were just bang, 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 bang. And it happened for about 5 minutes. And I remember just grabbing the door and just holding it shut and just telling it to stop. And when I laid down, that's when I felt the fingers like running across my face, and my whole body just like turned to absolute chill, like goosebumps all over it. I was absolutely terrified.
Yeah, I've just got chills over me just thinking of that situation. And I guess the thought that would run through my mind is the fact that, you know, potentially your wife and daughter are sleeping right there next to you. Is this thing going to do anything to them?
Exactly. Like I didn't really know where to go with it. And, my partner had many experiences with that sort of thing too. So she wasn't too concerned, but I remember she got scared at that point. I was scared too. And at that point, I realized there was something in the house and we probably had to try and pass it over. And my partner used to do crystal. She works with crystals, like does crystal art and crystal grids and things. And so we used to do some saging and try and get this thing to pass over. And eventually we managed to do it. But it must have been quite shortly after that. It was like we had constant activity. As soon as one would go, another one would turn up. So
that would be frustrating.
Yeah, it was frustrating and scary because I would not sleep very well, but then have to go to work and live the daily life. And then I'd find myself probably a little bit fearful of what was happening at home because I couldn't stop it. So that was quite a frustrating time. But at the same time, I was very interested. I started to like communicate with whatever was there, with like the pendulum and just by thought, and I would just get emotions and that come through and get feelings of who was around. The next one was a little toy we had in the other room. It started to play music by itself and start working, and it was like a little toy castle. And you'd move the handle on this thing and it'd start playing all this music. Now, that was the next one. It decided it wanted to play. And this thing would do this all night. And I remember pulling the batteries out of it and it would still continue to do it.
Oh, no. To the point
where I met a paranormal investigator guy in town, and he would come around and video it. My son or my stepson, he would go into the room, and he said one day, Richardson, he came out and said, a ghost just said to me, Richardson, a little girl. And so it was my little niece that actually passed away a few years before. And that was a confirmation to me that she may have been there.
Oh,
it was at
wow.
the time that my auntie, which would have been her her grandmother, was actually driving up in Queensland. So maybe she was following with them. So I've got a feeling that she was related to that incident. But we ended up throwing this thing out because, like, it would start playing at 1 o'clock in the morning. And even with the batteries out, and it used to just freak the hell out of me. So this friend of mine actually met him, the paranormal investigator guy. He ended up taking it away, but he said he never got any response out of it. The next thing was I remember having a shower one morning, and I was just looking out the door, and I remember seeing two of the switches turn on in the bathroom and, above the power points, not actual switch to turn the light on and off, but the power points switches. And I thought, oh, something's back again. And then I heard it walk down the hallway. So there was something else. And at that point, there was the same morning, there was a doll in the lounge room that would start talking.
What do you mean by start talking?
It sounded like a toy doll talking, you know, like a kid's toy doll. It would like have the voice of a toy doll, just rambling on, and I couldn't really understand what it was saying. And I thought, oh, one of my daughter's dolls is playing out there. I'll just go out there and turn it off. And I remember going out there and looking at this doll, and it was laughing, going, ha, 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 making jokes and giggling. And I remember grabbing this doll and looking at it, and it wasn't actually a talking doll. It didn't have any batteries in it.
Are you kidding?
It wasn't a talking doll. So this gets back to what I was telling you previously about the sounds, the audible sounds that spirits make. They seem to be able to do that.
That's just genuinely terrifying, because That's the type of stuff that you see in movies before everything kind of goes crazy
as I lead on, it does go pear shaped. But I recall walking back into the bedroom, thinking this thing is possessed or something, and I heard it say, as I went down the hallway and stopped and listened, it said, "Come back here, Daddy. Come back here. Come back to me, Daddy."
Oh, no.
And I went back out there and I took a photo of it, and then it stopped. And this was just before I was about to leave to go to work. It was about 5:30. I just left. And I took photos of this thing. And when I went to work, I messaged my partner and showed her the photos and explained to her what was happening. She said, "That's not a talking doll. It doesn't have batteries or anything like that." I said, "Oh, no."
Wow.
That was the only time that happened. Now, in the midst of all this, we're still having bangs in this house, and I'd go to bed at night and I'd hear the DVD player cycling, the TV would turn itself on and off, things would fly across the room. This house had a lot of activity in general, and it was by this stage I was kind of, we were constantly saging, like we'd get the white sage and start burning, and we would do that probably 2 or 3 times a week, and always clean the house. And I was always asking my friend Nick from down in New South Wales to help clear things, and he was at that point actively helping me. So at this point, he'd actually started to do some one-on-one sessions with me just over Skype, and started to teach me about meditation and how to clear these things away, just by trying to get into a more positive state of love, you know, through meditation, that would drive these things away more. I started to realize that it was potentially what we're dealing with was probably quite evil in a way, not always positive, and that we were attracting it. But the next thing that happened was we went to a concert up in Rockhampton to see Xavier Rudd, and at that stage I started to practice the shamanic sort of stuff, which is a lot of breathing and listening to drumming and things like that, and going to these deep meditative states. And I remember the first big experience I ever had of this state was going to his concert and actually sitting in the hall and listening to him play all that drumming and didgeridoo, and actually going into a full trance-like state when I was at his concert. My partner actually experienced it as well. I just remember my whole body was just buzzing all over, and I just felt amazing. But I wasn't actually in a meditative state as such with your eyes closed, but I just felt really, really good energy. And I remember that night we went back to a motel, and when we were in this motel, we were pretty buggered. We went straight back to bed, and we'd had a shower before we left, but we hadn't been in the bathroom, but we heard the shower head actually fall off and hit the ground. But it was quite bizarre, because I went in there and I looked and I thought, oh, that thing can't fall out. It sits in there a long way. And I thought, oh, it may have. And I didn't sleep well that night. So that's another thing, is that usually when we go away, we usually seem to have a lot of activity as well when we stay in motels and cabins, and that probably more so than our house. So that we sort of felt, hang on, we've got another spirit that's up here, and we thought, here we go again. By this stage, we're kind of used to it. But we went home the next day, and I recall just laying down in the bed, and I seen, just as I laid down in the bed, I was pretty tired, I seen the door shut in the room, the same ones that I was telling you about earlier about banging. I thought, oh, something's followed us back, you know, it's actively in the house. And during the night, DVDs would fly off the cases and stuff would come off cupboards and things like that. And I sort of felt like an angry energy. And I remember laying down one day and starting to fall asleep. And I went into that theta state, and I actually seen it was pitch black. And I seen a noose that was a rope round, perfectly around someone's head, and it was hanging up. It was like a black figure just hanging. And then I heard a massive bang, and then I woke up, and it was probably in the afternoon. So it's pretty bright. And I said to my partner, what was that? She was in the kitchen. She goes, oh, nothing. And I said, was there a bang then? She said, no. I was like, I realized then that this spirit that was with us had potentially hung himself or committed suicide. I felt it was a male. And I remember saging the house. I could feel him, his energy. And as I was walking towards him and saging, I went towards the front door, which was open. And as I got closer to the front door started to close. And I thought, oh, he's going out now. And then I turned and took a few steps back, and that slammed right in front of my face. So that was another profound experience. So at that stage, I went down to see a lady down at the shop in Gladstone who sold crystals and sage and stuff. And I went down there and I said, I said to this lady, I'm pretty stressed out. I said, I've got something I think that's attached, or I need some help clearing something out of the house. And she said, oh, here's a lady's number. Why don't you ring this lady? And I wrote it down, and I rang this lady probably 15 minutes later. And I asked her if she could help me out. And it was an Aboriginal lady. And she said, yeah, I can. And we had a bit of a chat. And I explained her some things that happened. And she said, oh, it sounds like you're quite psychic and your partner is as well. And, you know, you're attracting all this stuff. So she ended up coming around to the house. And this lady was very gifted psychic. And what we actually come to the conclusion was it was actually a nephew. And he'd actually committed suicide. So we'd worked this out. Just she could actually sense and see spirits, this lady, and could actually communicate. And she actually come to the conclusion that I went and got her number. It was all a coincidence that I'd actually engaged her. It wasn't by chance. It was actually meant to be. And in a way, I'd actually led her to find her nephew. And she actually, was very happy and thankful. And we had a really good conversation that night. She told me a lot of stuff about some tribal stuff and things like that, about the history and culture of Aboriginals in Australia. And myself, I've got some Aboriginal ancestors, and so we got along quite well. And she said that she was going to bring her husband back and just for dinner one night, and that he would give us some gifts. And I was like, oh, thanks for that. And I didn't really know what she meant. Must have been a few weeks later, she came over, and they sat down, and she said, oh, we're going to give you one of our guides to help you. And she called it a little fella. They said that we've got half a dozen little fellas that hang with us. And I didn't really know what that meant. She said, little hairy man. She said, we're going to give you one as a guide, and he's going to protect you, try and help all this negative energy, you know, to try and keep it away from the house. And she also gave me some what they call grounding sticks, which, if you know, hear people talk about meditation and grounding on the beach, it actually assists you in grounding and actually feeling better within yourself. So I must have been immediately I started to experience some things with this little fella around the house. And the more research I'd done on it, from what they told me, they seemed to stay around, stay with men, and are very protective of the man, and particularly stay with Aboriginal men. And I was very thankful that this occurred to me. And it's something that I haven't really spoken about openly, but it's just been an absolute life changer for me, and it's where I started to grow more spiritually very quickly, I think, from moving forward. But I remember laying in bed, and she said, he's very ugly. And I remember, and he's very short, and he was only about 4 foot tall. And she said, he's very powerful. They used to use him in spiritual warfare and stuff like that. And, I won't go into too much about the spiritual warfare side of it between tribes, but it sounded like I was getting myself into something that I probably didn't really want to, but at the same time, I felt that I needed to because I was at that stage where I needed help. And I didn't want to reject the gift. So he stayed with us. And I remember we would actually lay in bed at night and they told us that he'll bang on the house and things like that to let you know that he's there protecting you. And we would lay down and hear the roof banging and the walls banging. I remember used to go to sleep. I'd go to sleep at night and go into that theta state. Just as I was about to go to sleep, you start to sort of dream lucid a little bit, and that's where I'd see him. He'd be right above me. There'd be a little ugly, hairy man just staring at me.
Wow.
And I'd realize then, I thought, this is real. Like, I was absolutely blown away. So what occurred then was they said he's going to be on his own, and he's used to this little fella isn't as fast as some of the other ones. He's usually with the other ones, but they said he will get faster to protect you better. So I didn't really understand what they meant, but it was just all a learning experience for me. I was just thankful that I had the gift. And after that, I remember my daughter used to tell her mum that there was a wizard man in the house. She said, "Mummy, there's a wizard man. There's a wizard man through the house at the moment." And it started to get that full on for me, because at that stage, we still started to still have spirits come through the house, but we started to hear a lot more noise. And what it was he was chasing them, trying to clear things away. And I even had a friend of mine at work who was a vowed Christian. He would even come around and try and give me some tips on how to clear things, on things to say. And I remember when I'd say these things that posters and stuff in the room would start to vibrate. So I realized then that there was probably something bad around and that this little fella was trying to clear it away. I didn't really know what to do though, so I just continued on. We ended up going on a holiday down to New South Wales, and we went and stayed at a place at Enna Bay. And when we got there, like, he was with us. We could sense him with us. But when we got there, we went into the house, and immediately as soon as we went in, his son said that someone pinched him. And I thought, oh, here we go. There's probably something in the house. But this house had an enormous amount of activity. I remember laying in bed and actually seeing three really shadow beings at the end of the bed, like the black figures at night. And all night in this house, it was like a large house near the beach, and it was right next to like a protected indigenous area as well, where there was something like an area that was tied off. I don't think it was a grave, but it was an area where no one could go in, but this house was only just right next to it. So there was a lot of activity in this house, and at night we'd hear things running up and down the stairs. There was also a big wooden house. There was bowls banging and clashing and things like that. And I was really scared at this point. My partner wasn't sleeping well. Like, we would go to sleep at night and see things and that in our dreams, and couldn't sleep. She used to see someone with a needle trying to inject her and things like that. And I would see things. I would go into the theta state and actually look around the room and see the being sitting on the bed. And he actually looked like the cartoon Jimmy Giggle. I don't know if you've watched that, but it was that man. And he was laughing at me and had a needle in his hand. And so I realized at that point there was potentially a demon in the house. But during the day, we'd see this golden glow figure, which I believe was my guide, and he was darting around and chasing something around the house, trying to get it away. And at this point, I was quite rattled. I wasn't sleeping well. I didn't know what to do, so I rang this Aboriginal lady and said, "Hey, you know, I believe the little fella's trying to catch whatever's in the house. He can't catch it." And she said, yes. And she said, yeah, he's not fast enough. And at that point, I said to her, look, I've just had enough of this. I said, I think things have gotten worse since he's been with me. Would you mind taking him back? I'd actually had enough. It was like I wanted just nothing to do with it anymore.
What's it like for you now? Because your life is obviously not a normal life anymore. And having a partner that's, I guess, so in tune to the world that you are, I guess, what's that like for you now? Is that just the new normal?
Yeah, so the new normal for me is like doing the meditative stuff and actually seeing things in the meditative state and us sharing experiences about what we both see in meditation and lucid dreaming and, practicing astral traveling and things like that. That's been the new normal. And probably the new normal for us is actually, like I spoke about a lot, is actually protecting the house from things coming in and having the little fella there with us. He's able to assist in that. And because to help him out, essentially I've actually learnt to astral travel myself and actually help remove these beings from the house. It sort of goes to even more depth again. But it's very bizarre that we both experienced this type of thing to the point where we've met a lot of people that have had attachments, helped remove them, and just life day-to-day experiences, you know, where people will get angry and we realize this person may have an attachment or someone might be upset with us and that attachment will come to the house and then we have to deal with it. It's definitely calmed down a lot the last 6 months since we're used to it more and we know what to do and it seems like it's calmed down, but it's very much a part of our daily life.
Yeah, I could imagine you and your family, you would live quite an interesting life, and I think your normal would be a lot of people's almost nightmare, not to put a negative spin on it, but you would see so many things that the normal person just isn't ready for.
Exactly. And the biggest thing, Kate, is the fear. Once you overcome the fear and you start to love more, and when you experience these things, you'll have better things coming to you and they'll actually assist you and guide you and pass on messages to you in your daily life. And I think a lot of people, when I tell them these stories, I know they believe in it, but they're also very scared of it. And but it's just amazing how much we've actually turned it around and got through this fear stage to the point where it's assisted us to live a better life.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/believeUFO radio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.